Hey, I'm Cody from Unqualified Gamers, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
And now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 60 on Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 6, A Sin to Err. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Boy, I can't wait for that to come back in the general Marvel Comic Universe.
Because of Russian women that like to be handcuffed to the bed.
Hubba hubba.
If you'd like to talk to us about Russian women in handcuffs, you can contact us at our website, legendsofshield.com. Our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can get a hold of us at our Facebook, our Twitter, our Tumblr, and our YouTube, all Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And our forums at forums.gunnageek.com or search Gunna Geek, all one word, on the Tapatalk app.
And just another congratulatory note to a fellow podcast on the Gunna Geek Network, Unqualified Gamers, turned 100 today. Yesterday, actually, as we record this. Just want to say thank you to Jimmy and
Chris?
Chase. Okay. I thought it was Chase.
Willard?
Willard Scott? Just wanted to say thanks to the boys for all their hard work. Love their show. If you like video games, you should definitely check them out because they are very funny to listen to. And also, just another side note, we, for the first time, are going to be premiering an announcement on
Geekation 2015. For those of you that don't know, last year we went to Las Vegas. A bunch of the people that are on the podcasts on the network and fans of the podcast and friends of ours, we went to Vegas and we partied hardy, and this year we're going to Chicago. So if you go to the Gunna Geek page and scroll down a little bit, you'll see on the right-hand side a little banner that says Geekation. Click on that and it'll take you to the hotel information. It's May 15th through the 17th are the official dates, and some people will come a day early or stay a day late just to hang out a little bit longer. And it's a good way to hang out with other geeky people and discuss geeky interests over libations, if you're so inclined. But it's a good time every year, so check that out.
Yeah, it's a great time to get to know everybody on the Gunna Geek Network. And I guess we're all on the Gunna Geek Network, but you have to throw the disclaimer out here. Sorry, Haley. It's not Gunna Geek approved because Steven's a worrywart. But he doesn't want to say Gunna Geek is legally
responsible for it.
Yes, which means it's a heck of a party. So come out, join it, have some fun, meet your talent. Definitely not me, but meet the talent on the Gunna Geek Network and have some fun. It is great. This week, our main subject is Agent Carter. Imagine that. We had an episode Woo! And we're going to be talking about it. What's the best thing you thought about it, Lauren?
Oh, geez. Put me on the spot. Oh, my immediate first reaction thought is Peggy and Jarvis back together and having adventures again.
It was, and he's just sitting there really watching her.
Oh, just poor Jarvis getting knocked around by all these women that Howard Stark has slighted.
Oh, yeah.
And she tries to protect him one time.
I know.
And then, nope.
Nope. They just kick him in the nuts right there in the nards.
No, it was in the shin.
I thought it was in the nuts.
No, she kicked him in the shin.
Oh.
You know what?
So it wasn't that bad.
Remind me of Slaps Giving.
Yeah, kind of.
I can see that.
Because he was just getting slapped over and over and over again.
Just poor Jarvis. He was just so upset by all of this. And then he was getting slapped and Peggy's just there like, wow, I really don't want your job.
Just how many women is it? Well, maybe we'll start in the Western Hemisphere. So he got slapped quite a bit.
Yep. And then my favorite moment from the episode, also Jarvis, was when he hit that guy on the head with the tray and just that look of joy on his face.
Like, ooh, I did something.
I think that's when we see the whole, I think we were talking about it last week, that in his own mind, he's Jackie Chan.
Right. I wrote that he thinks he's James Bond.
That's it. Yeah. Right there. He's like, ooh, look at me. I'm so badass. He just has this one little moment.
And then it all goes
to crap.
Yeah. At the end.
Horribly, horribly downhill.
I know. But at the beginning, talking about that, you know, Agent Carter is really pressing on the girls in Leviathan. And I'm wondering, you know, why was that stopped? I mean, she was trying to get some intel out of him. And I talked about it last week. Like, how can you trust this guy, right?
Right. Well, the guy did keep saying, you know, I didn't know about that project. And she just kept asking questions about it while they were trying to move on to the things he did know about.
Yeah, but he started talking about how women can get into places because, you know, nobody suspects them or anything. So it was kind of a backsly comment. And, you know, he knows more than he's saying. And Dooley is just not getting it. I mean, like, come on, dude. I thought the whole thing over Dooley's wife was a ruse, like he was using it as a interrogation technique or something like that. But the more I saw the episode, the more I think that he's actually having a little bit of trouble at home.
I think so, too. And I think that Dr. Rick Olier there identified that as, you know, his in and exploited it.
Yep. Well, Dooley did mention last week or the week before that, you know, he couldn't go home before he met somebody for a drink because he wouldn't be able to leave the house again.
Yeah, but then he flew off to Germany to meet the Nazi. That's what he was doing. So I thought it was all a ruse. That comment was a ruse, but I guess he's...
No. That time it was when he went to the bar to meet the guy.
Oh, yeah. The reporter.
About Finau. Yep.
Right. So I thought it was all just a comment trying to cover where he's going. Like he's actually trying to do his job, but I guess he's really having problems at home. Who knows? We'll find out he isn't even married and it's all just a ruse.
I'm convinced that it's the Russian guy just finding an inn and using that, like, kind of Sherlock Holmes-like.
Right.
Using the little clues to find something, kind of cold reading and extrapolating from it, and using that as an inn. Like, you see him use Agent Yauch's insecurity and dissatisfaction with being left behind to babysit, and using that as an inn.
Yeah, so Adam in the chat says, now the guy was trying to hypnotize him. Maybe he's a metahuman of some sort. And I just wanted to bring up, I watched it a second time, as we do, or I do anyway, before I podcast, if I have the chance. And he's fooling with the ring. And I'm thinking it's like a one ring to rule them all.
Yeah, that's what I thought was the ring.
Because he kept like spinning the ring around. I think it's like some kind of, I don't know, like frequencies.
Hypno ray.
Yeah,
like something with frequencies and brain waves and...
Sciency-wyancy.
I just think it's Lord of the Rings. It's Saruman. That's what it's all about.
Saruman and magic does not exist, only science that has not yet been explained.
That's right.
It's one of the Mandarin's rings.
Yeah, except for maybe when Doctor Strange comes out and then we find out there's magic after all.
I really hope he does rhyming spells. That's what I want.
Okay, so I don't know what to believe. Because he's telling the story, the doctor, what's his name again? I wrote down Ivanchenko, and I know that's wrong.
No, it's...
I keep calling him Rick Olier, and I have not bothered to learn his name.
Okay.
I looked at it today, but I don't... It was like Ivchesky or something like that.
Okay. So he's telling this...
Dr. I.
He's telling the story about the beginning of Leviathan, or how he's recruited into Leviathan, and how brutal it was and whatever. And I'm thinking, I don't know if this is the truth or not, but with Marvel... You never know. It seems like if you put it in the context of Marvel, it seems like it's the truth. But me not trusting anything, I'm like, I think he's lying. I think he's been the head of it the whole time.
I don't know if he's the head of it, but...
But he's deeper in it than he's...
Yeah, as we find out, he is definitely...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he definitely played it up. And I thought Dooley was letting him open the window because he knew he was going to try to communicate or whatever. But again, I think Dooley is really distressed over his wife.
I will admit, I fully expected him to get shot at that moment. I fully expected the Dottie was there to take him out.
So did I. I bought in completely.
So did I. And it turns out, much as it pains me to say it, SP, you were right. He was a bad guy.
Thank you. SP's right for once. Yay. I'm just going to relish this moment for a second.
But I am kind of glad she killed that creepy dentist because he was a creeper.
No, that whole part was just like, gave me the shivers. I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. You knew which way it was going. And if she hadn't stepped in there, because I don't think she knew that was going on. She just knew it would be a good vantage point.
No, that's just the window she needed to be in. So right. Whatever.
And then she just took advantage of it. And even though it was brutal, it was like, well, maybe, you know, sort of thing. Because you never know how many other women that he's done that to, whatever. And it gets back to the sexism of the era, which we have talked about over and over again. So, okay. So Dottie, I'm sorry, I missed this. We even talked about it. And I assumed when we were talking about the assassin who killed Agent Kreminsky. Oh, I said it right this time.
No, it's Kreminsky.
No, ah, dang it.
So close, so close.
So close. Anyway, I assumed it was Mr. Mink, the smuggler, but I guess it was really Dottie?
No, who was it? Somebody said maybe it's Dottie. And I remember clearly saying, I don't know, but they were kind of skinny and lanky.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe it was Dottie or maybe it was another one of the women from that program.
Okay.
But yeah, it's looking increasingly like it was Dottie.
Okay, wait, do we think Ida was Dottie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you think it might be somebody else. I see. But I thought Ida was Dottie.
Yeah, that's okay. What I mean, from the way that they set that scene up and with her clearing out the, you know, the very clear, you know, mirrored shots of the cleared out shelves.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to remember if Howard saw Dottie while he was in the Griffith.
I don't think he did.
Griffin.
No, it was every other roommate or every other woman on that floor. It was not Dottie. It was the one door he didn't go in.
Well, that and Angie's, I guess.
Okay. So Angie and Thompson had a moment.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay. So the woman crying works almost as well as the lady things comment.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's great.
Again, it's like people. Okay. And this. Granted, this isn't just women, but people are very uncomfortable. Again, like Natasha says in Cap 2, people are very uncomfortable with
public displays of affection.
Yeah, public displays of affection or strong emotion in general. There's no better way to feel awkward than when somebody around you is crying. You're just like, what do I do? And as you can see here, they have no clue what to do.
Like, it's like, oh, man.
Thompson looked like, that was just like the most awkward pat on the shoulder that I've ever seen. It was amazing.
Yeah, but then they start, I want a whole episode about Gam Gam. I think they need to go to the automat and talk about Gam Gam for an hour. I would love to listen to that conversation. Absolutely.
Just, okay, I fully hope that when Peggy actually goes and joins and helps found S.H.I.E.L.D., that she remembers this moment. And recruits Angie as one of her, like, undercover agents, answer to the Black Widow program, whatever.
Well, Angie knows what she's up to, right? Oh, I'll let you talk to your male friend.
Yeah, now she has, like, an idea.
Yeah, but it was even before that. She was saying, oh, I'll let you talk to Jarvis. She didn't know it was Jarvis' name. I'll let you talk to your man or whatever. And she knows that they're talking. They're sitting with their backs together. Angie knows something's going on.
Yeah, she's picking up on it.
Okay, as soon as he sat down, I was thinking of Breaking Bad. Are you moving or am I? Because it's ridiculous to talk to somebody with your back to them. Like, people don't know.
It is.
They can't hear you guys talking to each other with your backs to each other. That's not suspicious.
Yeah, I don't know about you. Maybe this is just me being nosy, but whenever I go to restaurants, half the fun is when there's a lull in the conversation. You just kind of eavesdrop on what other people are saying, because sometimes it's really fun to get, like, half of a conversation that you don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
That's usually every week here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. with me. I just tune in and out and like, oh, okay. It's fun in my mind.
Yeah. If it wasn't for that horse, I never would have spent that year in college.
Okay. So you guys brought up something last week and I was, or I think Lauren, it was you, about the two different theaters of operation and that Agent Carter Peggy ends up with somebody that was in the Pacific. Were Thompson?
No, she ends up with somebody who was in Europe.
Yeah, that was rescued by Cap.
Yeah, who's rescued by Cap in that camp in Italy.
Okay, so it's Europe and both Thompson and Sousa were in the Pacific.
I don't remember about Sousa. I know for sure
neither
Thompson was in the Pacific.
Yeah.
I don't remember for certain about Sousa either. So, okay, so Thompson is not going to end up with Carter, at least with that assumption.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it could be a possibility, so I thought I'd bring it up. I guess Sousa still could be it.
Wow, okay, I just looked up Daniel Sousa just to see if I could find if there was anything about him.
Yeah.
And, like, the first six links on IMDb are an American short film director. So, I wonder... He won Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film a few years ago, so hey.
I wonder if the writers are a fan and they're like, it's a nod.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. I gotta look.
Wonder if you worked on any of the Marvel comics, the animation. Which, talking about animation, I'm gonna take a little side note right now. Star Wars Rebels, if you're not watching it, you really need to catch up. It's really good.
Yes. Oh my God, this week's episode was so good.
Yeah, that's what I brought up. It's so good. For everybody else who's like, it's a cartoon, or I watched the first couple episodes, I really didn't get it. You need to start catching up.
It's picking up steam. It's getting good. I know Ezra is an annoying little, but still, just, it's getting good. It's getting really good.
So if anybody knows if Daniel Souza has worked on any of the Marvel animation, please let us know. We would love to make that connection.
No, he hasn't. And I think his animation is nominated for this year's awards.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe last year's. I don't know. I guess last year's. And the Marvel Cinematic Universe wiki does not say whether he was in Europe or the Pacific.
Okay. So do either of you two care for any raspberry truffles?
Actually, yes.
Always.
Or would you prefer some rhubarb pie?
Always, yes. Pie, truffles, yum.
I still don't know what the hell rhubarb tastes like. I don't know either. So I'm going to go with the raspberry truffles because I know I like those.
Or would you like a Howard Stark special tennis bracelet or on steroids or whatever that thing is?
Nah. Yeah. Give me the one I could eat.
It's like Peggy's like, no, I would prefer not to wear that.
Yeah, it's like...
Because that symbolizes...
Yeah, I love that Howard Stark has this, like, the special bracelet there. And he has, like, an account with them for this one item. And it's just, like, a thing.
Yeah, and what's even scarier is that they kept records on who it actually went to. It's not like, okay, we're selling this to Howard Stark. You're actually selling it to the woman. Stark's paying for it, but the woman's name is on file. That's kind of creepy.
Well, I mean, I guess you have to for, like, insurance purposes.
Yeah, or to get it fixed or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with that. Wow, though. That was a big list. And Jarvis is like, this is smaller than I thought. And Carter's like, this is a lot of women.
My favorite part of that scene was the Ginger Rogers reference. And Andy, when you listen to this, Ginger Rogers, look her up. She was this actress slash dancer back in the, like, 40s. And yeah, really good dancer.
Apparently, she has really shifty eyes, though.
Yeah. Apparently, she's just looks like... I really hope that they end up recruiting her for S.H.I.E.L.D. as an operative, too. Like, you know how they recruited...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's her name? Julia Child and stuff?
Right.
As a spy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just recruit Ginger Rogers. Just start recruiting all these women that, like, Howard Stark has slept with.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know they're prone to violence.
Yes.
Okay, let me get this straight. Dooley gives Peggy the authority to go after the Russian assassin. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
To follow her hunch.
Okay, to follow her hunch. And yet, after she's been doing that, she was found out to be working against him, and they bring her in, and they don't follow the hunch at all. The SSR.
Well, they don't really know what they'd be looking for.
Right, okay. And we're pretty certain that Dottie did not get Cap's blood.
No, they had that. Because it was in Peggy's handbag, and they put it on the table in front of her.
Yeah, and I don't think Dottie had quite enough time to... I didn't see her do this anyway, to pick through her bag before...
Right, because she had just flicked her knife out and was getting ready to stab Peggy when they came around the corner.
Right, right.
You're wearing my brand.
Brand, that's it. Wearing my brand.
She only fell is all.
Oh, yeah, there you go, there you go, yeah.
I hit my head. Like, what?
So... I'm disappointed in this episode. There's something that wasn't in this episode that I think should have been in there. Sheldon was back, but he was not handcuffed to a chair. He was shackled, but not to a chair. I'm like, oh, come on. You're not going to play that up again? Oh, man.
Why don't we keep that under our hats, okay?
don't tell anybody here.
Yeah, he doesn't want anyone to know he got beaten up by a girl.
I wouldn't either. Oh, poor Agent Yonk. How do you say his name? Yonk?
Yauk.
Yauk. Poor Agent Yauk.
Yeah, I knew that was coming because once they're like, yeah, you take this and you save her. And I'm like, oh, great. He's making himself feel better for killing him. And yes.
Yeah, I knew as soon as he sent him to the bar, I was like, oh, poor guy.
Yep. And once again, we see a very fast moving big truck take out somebody. Yep.
Yeah, that's how we know it's set in the 40s because trucks couldn't drive that fast in New York now.
Yeah.
True. There's not enough open road for that to happen. Haley, what are some of your good quotes?
Prematurely evacuate.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was he said prematurely. I was like, oh, you're not going there. Evacuate. I'm like, oh, that was so close.
More complicated and less fun.
Yes, yes.
A plumber with flat feet. That's inadequate.
Oh, yeah. The guy that took his 4F flat feet. Yeah. Took his wife.
Perfect New York neighbor. Nobody saw or spoke to her.
Yeah, true.
Just the perfect neighbor anywhere.
Yeah, I know, I know. It's always the quiet ones.
Crutch faster. We got places to be.
Oh, what was that? Who were you talking to? A future mobster or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That whole scene with Jarvis and the kid where he's just like, go away, go away. Like 3PO with a Minock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was just fantastic. Like Jarvis freaking out at the little kid with the lollipop. Just anytime Jarvis is flustered, I'm happy. Oh, by the way, James Darcy is in Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Adam in chat says, crutch faster made me want to punch Thompson. Well, Adam, I got to tell you, in what episode do you not want to punch Thompson? Because he's deserved a punch multiple times in every single episode we've seen so far.
And Peggy did, in fact, punch him.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's completely awesome. Out.
Yes.
But to be fair, he was the only one that didn't underestimate her in this episode.
Oh, yeah. And multiple times, too. Because she's like, you don't need the handcuffs. And he's like, well.
Yeah, we do.
Well, trust me, you need the handcuffs.
Yes, we do. You got any more quotes?
Well, at the end, don't go easy on her just because she's a girl. And I was wondering if they got a new stick.
Yo, I forgot about the stick. Adam said Sousa didn't underestimate her, but he couldn't pull the trigger. And you know, that's an important moment because all along I've been saying Sousa could be Hydra, Sousa could be Leviathan or whatever. And that moment made me double think that. Like, I've probably been wrong about that.
I told you.
See, I still think, because they're going up against Leviathan right now. They think Hydra's gone. I still think he might be a Hydra plant. And that would be like an end of season one thing is you find out he's Hydra. And then they don't address it until season two, if there is a season two. But we don't know if there will be or not.
Right. And he could have let her go because he knew that they still needed whatever she was trying to hide. So
Cap's blood.
Well, yeah. Sousa's smart.
Like, they don't know where it's at. So they got to wait for her to go get it.
Right.
So they can take it from her.
Exactly. Lauren, do you have anything in your notes that we haven't covered already?
Ida was a dancer.
That's right. She was. I caught that. She was a dancer. So that immediately made me think of Iowa. Which is what Angie calls her, Iowa.
Yeah.
Study.
Oh, Miriam freaking out. Apparently, no men above the first floor still applies to federal investigations.
It's a safety thing. And then later on, take her to her office. It's a safety thing. That's funny. Got anything else, Haley?
My only other note was that coffee that Yauk was pouring had to be cold.
Yes.
Just sitting in the conference room all day.
Yep. Well, I guess the carafes back then were kind of supposed to be thermoses, but yeah, I got it. I'm picking up what you're putting down. This was a surprisingly good episode. I didn't know I was going to like it that much, but you had the slap Jarvising. You had the Carter is revealed to be a spy. Howard wasn't in this. And, you know, Jarvis still has Dooley's card. So that could be played either next episode, which is the penultimate in the Agent Carter event, or in the finale. So we'll see. Hey, question for you two. Now that we're at this particular moment after six episodes and we only have two episodes left, you think they're going to completely wrap stuff up at the eighth episode, or you think you're going to have multiple strings left untied?
I think it's going to be completely wrapped up, all of the major story arcs from this season, but they might set up something to be the next season's big thing. But I think it's going to be separate.
Agreed. I think, we're going to find out what the deal is with Howard. We're going to find out what Finnow was, like what the deal with that was. And we're going to find Peggy getting recruited to S.H.I.E.L.D. Maybe they'll include that short from the DVD as like the last bit of an episode. But I think there will be enough dangling threads that if they wanted to do a season two, they could, or if somehow it could tie into like stuff that's coming up in the MCU.
Well, that'd be cool to do, even if you take it within Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? And you do flashbacks throughout, kind of like in Arrow, how they do the flashbacks, but it's the current characters. You could do flashbacks to Agent Carter throughout Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, we know we already have a Peggy Carter fangirl on the team. She can like find the very secret diaries of Peggy Carter or something.
Yeah.
Her case files.
Yes.
Oh, and then one more thing to look forward to is the Captain America radio play. Didn't you guys say that we have one more episode of that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be in the finale or next week or what, but we'll see.
Yep. Yeah, one of the 2 weeks. And, oh, just to give everybody a heads up, Lauren will not be with us next week. We have to send her on a...
on a mission.
I'm on a field assignment.
Yes, yeah. a field assignment to Siberia.
It's a little warmer than Siberia.
Black Widow training.
Yes, there you go. But we will make sure we have other people on the podcast to give you all the great backup and talking about Agent Carter. It's been a great thing to have in the off season from, or the mid season pause of it. What do we call it?
The hiatus.
The hiatus. Okay.
Yeah.
Hiatus is, you know, after you watch stuff like Battlestar Galactica or The Sopranos.
Where it's like a year and a half.
Yeah,
hiatus.
That's a hiatus. We're just talking about a couple of months here. So.
Metalocalypse, where it takes like years, or Venture Brothers, where it takes like years between the seasons.
I know. Like, I almost delete Venture Brothers from my TV tracking app, and then I'm like, well, no, I better not, because they might put out another random episode.
Yeah, like they just did, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. You guys got anything else about Agent Carter this week?
I think that's it for me.
All right. Lauren?
I want it to be next week right now. I actually lost track of time. So when the episode ended, I was like, wait, what?
I know. It's like, it's too bad it's not like Star Wars Rebels, right? Because once it airs, you can go online and catch the next episode online. But no, we can't do that here. Looking forward to next week. The episode is called Snafu, which is Situation Normal, all beeped up. So we will see how that goes. So, the ratings for this week, they're respectable. I wish they were higher.
Pretty much exactly what they were last week, I think.
Yeah.
4.2 million.
Yeah.
Last week, it was 4.25 million. So, holding steady.
Yeah, holding steady. Hope it gets bigger. Hope.
Hoping,
I don't know.
And wishing and praying.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what number would be good for ABC and Marvel to pump it up. I know they're looking at expanding their television universe, and I can only imagine they want to keep it in the ABC family. Now, whether that's on the ABC network or you take it to
Netflix.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's Netflix stuff too. But I mean, if you want to compete with DC, do you take it just to Netflix or do you put it on secondary ABC channels?
ABC doesn't have as many channels, though, as some other networks do.
Yeah.
Right. I know. They've got ABC Family, and I know they got a couple
others.
Yeah,
I can't see it going there.
Yeah. All right.
Disney, but I can't see it going there either.
Can't see it going there.
Like, they don't have, like, a more adult channel the way some of the networks do, so I can't see them moving it anywhere else.
I could see Disney buying a more adult channel to make that happen.
Yeah, if you wanted to...
get an FX-style channel.
Yeah, if you wanted to do a more... adult style thing, you'd have to either just make it an online thing or just make a deal with Netflix and put it on there.
But the competition for those channels is so tough. I mean, Walking Dead is such a aberration of what's possible out there. I mean, I won't even count Game of Thrones or anything on the HBO network because people actually pay for that content. So you kind of expect a higher level of content. BBC, it's almost the same thing. If you live in Great Britain, you have to pay. So they have a little bank to make great content. So people are expecting it and it's not paid for by advertising. But if you get to FX, you've got some great series on there, right? You got Justified.
Yeah, but don't most of the shows on that network do like 3-4 million a week?
Yeah, that's my point, is that it's definitely a lot lower. So the expectation for viewership is lower and you wonder if they're planning on making some money later on whatever, Hulu Plus, Netflix, Amazon Prime, you know, whatever they're planning on stream.
DVD sales.
Yeah. So I know shows like Walking Dead and did you even know what Better Call Saul did Sunday night? I have no idea. I haven't looked it up.
But I thought I remembered seeing it got like 4 or 5 million, something
really
around there.
After Walking Dead. Wow. And what did Breaking Bad used to do? Do you remember?
Well, maybe that was the second episode. I will check.
Oh, that would be Monday.
What I think you would probably want to check what like Breaking Bad did like first or second season as compared to the end.
True. I remember when Breaking Bad went to Netflix that everybody gobbled it up and said, oh, this is such a great show.
That's when I started watching it, was when it went to Netflix. So I was like, oh, I can finally catch up on it, because I'd been meaning to watch it since forever and then, you know, missed the first like six episodes. And I was like, well.
Yeah, my son did it that way. I have not watched Breaking Bad. I think I maybe have seen half the first episode and that's it. And it's just, there's just a lot of stuff to watch out there. So it's like, Haley, I know you have not seen stuff, so.
I actually, TV I've seen a lot more of than movies, so.
You know, we were talking about Smallville, right? Last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that none of us had really seen it. I have seen a couple episodes because Wing made me. Because we were watching the ones that had the Green Arrow in it. And I'm like, oh man, this is such a different comic book show than what's out there today. I don't think I could have stayed in there and watched it the whole time. But that was the sort of show 5, 7, 10 years ago on a secondary cable channel that was expected to get that sort of ratings from like 2 million an episode. And it was treated as such. Now, Flash, Arrow, all the other shows, Walking Dead, which again is lightning in a bottle, they're getting tremendous ratings for what they have. So. But we're talking about Agent Carter. We're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on this show, and it is on a main network. So we'll see how it goes. We'll also see how Heroes goes. We'll see how Supergirl does on CBS. So we've talked about it before. There is some saturation that's going to happen, and we'll just see how it goes.
Like, I really want the Supergirl show to do well, because it's the first time we've seen a female-led superhero television show, but I don't know how well it's going to do.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one. It really will be. So we'll just see.
Okay, Better Call Saul was 6.9 million for the premiere.
Do you have the numbers from the second episode?
There's only been one episode, right?
No, the second episode aired the following night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell, I missed it.
That's okay, because I'll bet you they'll play it again.
Well, yes, they will, and I can watch it online, but...
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then Breaking Bad, when it came back from its mid-season break that was like a year long, had 5.92 million viewers for that episode.
Oh, wow. Huh, that's a lot lower than I thought.
And the series finale had 10.28 million.
Oh, okay, so great. That was an amazing episode from what I've heard.
It was really good.
Okay. All right, so we'll keep an eye on the ratings for you. I know we talked a lot about it, but we talk a lot about it because it means whether or not we're going to get more of these shows or not. So then to revisit something from last week, the operator sent us a tweet. He retweeted Melinda May about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gag reel from Wizard World in Portland. Did you ladies actually get a chance to watch it now?
Yes.
Yes. And the best part is definitely when Ming-Na starts doing the Thriller dance.
It's funny.
That was adorable. What I love about gag reels, and I was noticing it on this one especially for some reason, when you see that moment where they break character, like they realize something's gone weird,
mm-hmm.
I love seeing that.
Yeah, I know. Grant with his gun that he couldn't pick up, or Melinda. What was she doing in that trench? Because
it was when she was supposed to be like digging the thing out of the grave.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, digging up.
So she's supposed to be like climbing out.
Oh, like Fury's grave or whatever.
Yeah. So she was just waiting for them to call action so she could jump out of the hole and, you know.
Instead, she did the Thriller dance.
Yep.
As you do.
She also tried to tackle Greg Clark on the bed. That was interesting.
Yeah. What did he say? Because I didn't hear that. I just saw her tackle him under the bed. Oh, it was the thing about the camera, the Siegfried and Roy camera.
Yeah.
The quality on this isn't exactly the greatest, but if you want to go to our show notes for this week, go ahead, click on the YouTube link. You can watch it yourself. It is, like a couple of minutes long?
It's like a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead, watch it. It's great.
Worth your time.
Absolutely. What else will be worth our time is when our gal Sif is returning for the second half of the season, at least for one episode. I know, it's so great, isn't it?
I was hoping she'd come back.
I know. Jamie Alexander, they say, is so great to work with. We just wanted her back. And I'm wondering if they're going for the glitzy female appeal or if they really need her for a story linking Asgard.
I don't
care why she's there. She's awesome. So whatever.
I love Jamie Alexander, and Sif is an awesome character. And I read a little bit about what they have planned for her plot, and I'm kind of curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, they made some mention that it's definitely a larger universe. We are bringing a lot more superheroes into the show. They admitted that, but they didn't want to go into any details. It was Jed Wheaton and Marissa were talking about it. So the producers, basically, of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it'll be interesting what happens. They've got some plans. You know what? The article, what they said in the article made me think like they didn't know what they were doing with the season, but I know they knew what they were doing with the season. So
I think it's one of those things where they don't want to give it away. So they have to be like really evasive.
Yeah.
Because they've already filmed so much of the season that, yes, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's true. They filmed a large part of the second half of the season at this point.
Okay. So Sif is supposed to like be not have all her memories or something like that when she comes, right?
Yeah. So I want to see them have to explain.
Well, no, I'm hoping she's going to bond with poor broken Fitz over not being who they were.
Yeah. Well, and
why would you say that? That's amazing.
And they admitted that the memories are still there, right?
Right.
Yes.
But they just have to find a way to get it out.
Oh my God. What if that's what gets Fitz to make some sort of like memory machine to like link up those, I don't know, like the neurons again.
And reconnect everything. Yeah.
So Fitz and Sif are going to reconnect? Ooh.
Ooh.
Hubba hubba.
That would probably help him get over Simmons.
Yeah. I still think those two are going to have a thing eventually. We'll see. And I'm wondering when we're going to get the monkey. The monkey's in the comics. We got to have the monkey on the show.
Make the monkey canon. I mean, it is canon in the comics, but make the monkey TV canon.
Exactly. Come on. And then Marvel owes us some cash.
Yes, right. They do.
So somebody came up with an idea to put together an all-female Avengers team.
Gee, I wonder who that was.
Why couldn't we think of that?
Yeah,
geez,
I wonder.
Oh, wait.
Wait a second. We did, months ago. So send us a check, Marvel.
Copyright Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2014.
So they are doing an all-female Avengers team called A-Force. And on this team, we're going to have She-Hulk, Dazzler, The Runaways, Nico Minoru.
Nico's amazing. I love her.
I don't know who she is.
Oh my God. Everybody read Runaways right now. Okay. So on the cover of this, character-wise, at the foreground, you see She-Hulk, you see Medusa, you see Dazzler and Nico. There's Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. And then like behind them, there's Storm, Rogue.
There's Phoenix. There's Pixie. There's
Spider-Woman.
Yeah. There's Rogue. There's Wasp.
Everybody.
There's Elektra.
Everybody's out there.
Yeah. There's Black Widow. There's so many good... There's Hellcat. We were just talking about her last week.
Uh-huh.
And the new character, whose name I'm going to have to scroll down and read. Singularity.
I guess she's the one who looks like an outline that somebody just splattered
like
stars on. Yes.
Yep. She's a new character. She's an entity that...
Oh, there's Moondragon.
According to all these tweets that they included in this article, she doesn't really have a gender because she's just some cosmological being, but... She starts to adopt like a female characteristics because, you know, that's just being around humans. She had to adopt something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my God. If Carolina and Nico and Pixie are in this book, I'm going to have to get it.
Yeah. I don't remember Pixie being mentioned in the article, but yeah.
But she's on the cover and she's amazing.
They only mention like three of the characters by name, but you can see them clearly on the cover.
There's Rescue. There's like Monica Rambeau in her Captain Marvel costume.
This is going to be a series that I'm definitely going to have to get at least digitally, if not in a hard copy.
Yeah. I will admit, I've started making the move to digital just because I looked at my room the other day and it's like...
I know.
There's a lot of comics in there.
Yeah, it's much more practical.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought physical comics for probably like a year or two, not very long. And, you know, that filled a long box. So it was like, geez.
Oh, no. I have many, many shelves of comics and it's like, I may need to pare down.
Rethink this.
Yeah, Wing's got several long boxes himself, and he's like, you know, I've got the digital copies, and, you know, I've got the hard copies that I'm going to keep, and the rest of it. And I'll tell you what, if you're out there and you have hard copies of comics that you don't know what to do with, take them to your local children's hospital. They will love you for it.
They will. They really will. Unless it's like hard copies of like Preacher or something. In which case, they would probably appreciate that a little less.
Right. So make it kid-friendly, which I know a lot of comics aren't. But if you have kid-friendly comics that you don't know what to do with, take them to a children's hospital.
Most local libraries at this point also have a comic book section or a graphic novel section you could take to as well.
They do. You could donate there.
Yeah, that'd be great. Get some people interested in comics that have a library card. So talking about ratings, We also have news on the fact that Daredevil will be rated TV mature.
Woo! Which comes as no surprise to anybody who's watched any of the Netflix stuff up to this point.
Or anybody familiar with Stephen DeKnight's previous work, Spartacus.
Right, okay. Right. So, but Spartacus was on Sci-Fi lately.
No, Spartacus was on Starz.
Right,
and then
right,
edited for Sci-Fi.
And then edited, but not as severely as I would have thought on Sci-Fi.
Right. And that's my point, is that it was on a secondary cable channel, Sci-Fi, and they were able to take this. Was it rated R or mature? I don't know.
Oh, it was
NC-17. I don't know. They didn't have to rate it.
Yeah, it was rated Netflix.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, yes, because it's like HBO or whatever.
For Starz, I guess it is TVMA. I could check my DVDs, but actually, yeah, one of my DVDs is right across the room. I could like go grab it.
Yeah, that's okay. So they were able to take Spartacus, which was rated at a higher level, and show it on network TV. And as you yourself admitted, they didn't lose all that much.
No, they cut out the F word and the hard C word. And there was some digitally inserted like underwear
sand
and a couple of scenes that were cropped short,
mm-hmm,
reframed.
Yeah, reframed or shuffled around.
So not as good as the original, but at least you could do that.
No, not as good as the original.
Right. But Sci-Fi is a cable channel. And this, yeah, is where we were talking earlier about how ABC doesn't have really an adult cable channel that they could put this on.
No, but they have Netflix, though, which...
Right, but if we're talking about them ever, you know, potentially airing this on television, they don't have an FX or AMC style network that they could put it on.
I mean, I guess they could air it
late on ABC.
Yeah, late on ABC, 9 central on ABC.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, they show The Blacklist, right?
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Okay, I haven't had a chance to watch that, so I'm not sure how it compares, you know, sex and violence wise, but I've heard it's a pretty hardcore show.
Yep. So in the meantime, Daredevil will be TVMA as it is originally released, and we'll see if it gets modified as it goes out in other forms.
Yeah, so basically Netflix is like the Marvel Knights of the MCU.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it.
But here's the thing with Netflix, though. It is not an ABC entity, right? They show stuff from both DC and Marvel. So I don't know if there's going to be some sort of competition thing going on there.
Disney's still getting the money.
Well, yeah, there is some monetary stuff. As we recently saw with Doctor Who, first of all, being pulled from Amazon Prime and then threatened to be pulled from Netflix.
Well, no, they weren't threatening to pull it from Netflix. They were just renegotiating the contract.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and if they didn't renegotiate the contract, then it would be gone by the state. You see that again and again with all these different shows on Netflix, shows and movies that are owned by different, like, I'm not sure, distribution companies, I guess?
Yeah.
Like MST3K will kind of cycle through every so often as they're renegotiating places to show it.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The best explanation I saw for the Netflix thing is that other things on the BBC contract were, they were haggling over those, but just because it was all in the same contract, they had to put on the potential loss of Doctor Who as well.
Right. I'll tell you a way not to do it. And I can't remember if I discussed this on this show or not, but I cover another show on the Sci-Fi channel called Defiance, and the podcast is called Voices of Defiance, also on the Gunna Geek Network. I bring it up because after season one, before season two came out, it was digitally available all over the place, but never in one place longer than like a month and a half. And I thought that was the biggest frickin' mistake they could have made. Yes, they're getting exposure throughout all these different entities, but it wasn't in any one of those entities long enough to really get traction of people to watch it and then tell their friends to watch it and that sort
right.
of thing.
Well, because this happens sometimes, like you start watching a show on Netflix or some other digital source, and then you're like halfway through the last season and it gets pulled.
Yes.
Which that happened to me with Babylon 5 like 4 or 5 years ago, and I still haven't finished.
Yeah. So just keep it there long enough for most people to see it. And okay, if you get the tail end on it, it's going to be available at some point in time in the future. It's not like it's going in the Disney vault, like all the animation stuff, but it will eventually reappear somewhere.
Well, Babylon 5 might have gone in a vault, because like I said, this was years ago it got pulled, and
yeah,
still not back.
Fair enough. You can at least go out and get the DVDs for Babylon 5. But yeah, I understand why you wouldn't want to if you already have a Netflix subscription. In any event, right. We're going to move on. The first set of images from Jessica Jones are out. And I got to say, I had no idea what to see. And just the two pictures I'm seeing, I'm a fan.
Okay. Yes. The pictures, as the article says, and as I kind of agree, are not terribly exciting. Unless you're a fan like me, in which case you started screaming as soon as you saw them, just because, oh my God, it's proof that they started filming. So it's Kristen Ritter, and she's wearing like everyday normal people clothes.
Jeans and a coat.
Jeans and a coat and a scarf. And yeah, that's the thing. Like Jessica Jones, she has given up superheroing and she just walks around like a normal person, unless she does superpowery stuff, in which case she flies. But oh my God, she looks good. She got rid of the bangs, which I'm glad for because Jessica Jones does not have bangs. I'm so unbelievably happy that this is proof that this thing that I've been waiting for so long, like you don't even know. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm getting giggly. No, this is actually happening.
Luke Cage!
Yeah. I'm so happy.
Yeah, so I'm getting excited. I'm getting the tone of it just by the pictures. You know, it's more down to earth sort of stuff. I mean, we're talking about, what are they called? The Street Fighters series?
Defenders.
Defenders.
Street level crime fighters.
Street level crime fighters. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're not the ones who are, you know, taking out aliens and stuff. They're the ones who are just like, somebody's getting robbed on the street and they're there to like beat their heads in.
Yep.
Or in Jessica Jones's case, I mean, if somebody's blackmailing a superhero, she's like, I will find out who this is and stop them.
Handle it.
Right. Yeah. So the next story will not be the last time we talk about it, but it's getting close. It is the results of the Superhero Bowl bet.
Right. And we see Chris Pratt. This is from Facebook. We see Chris Pratt at Christopher's Haven with Chris Evans, with some of the families that were there. And he's dressed up completely as Star-Lord. And, you know, just a bunch of kids grinning ear to ear as they get their picture taken with him. So pretty fantastic.
These adorable idiots. I love them.
I know.
I know.
Everybody won on this one, except for the Seahawks. But everybody won on this, really. I think it was great publicity for both those gentlemen. I mean, Chris Pratt, I think, is just at the beginning of his career, which hopefully will last about 10 years, that he's really going heavy and all this stuff. And I just can't wait to see what's going on. And it's great to see him giving back. They took advantage of this to put a couple of the things here that they are advocating for charity in the national spotlight. So hopefully it does some good. But most importantly, in this particular case, I hope they made those kids happy because they need some happy in their lives. So thank you guys very much. Thank you, Chris and Chris, for making this happen. It's great. And we can't wait to see the final results of the next visit, because they already said they're going to do it. So we've been talking about this off and on in various different podcasts throughout the Agent Carter run. But again, we have another article here by Haley Atwell discussing sexism and the secrets in Marvel.
Okay, so hitfix.com had an interview with Haley Atwell, and it's a really good interview. Like, she talks a lot of stuff. Like, she talks about social media, and apparently she's on Tumblr. She doesn't give her account name, but she goes on Tumblr. So she definitely knows about your porn. And talking about working with the cast on everything. Then she gets into talking about the sexism on Agent Carter. And she starts talking about how it was more prominent in the 1940s. It was more on the surface. So now looking back on it, we can identify moments of misogyny or sexism. Nowadays, it's a lot more subtle. Like, if a woman's in a high position, she finds herself being called a bitch or accused of being difficult. And then she goes on to talk about that, and then is like, that got really deep. It's a good interview. Like, it just goes all over the place with talking about Marvel and the character and just all this stuff about the character and what's been going on the show. So, yeah, I highly recommend reading it. She talks about, like, Steve's blood and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take a read. It's good. Haley Atwell is awesome.
She is.
It's a Haley thing.
Totally. All Haleys are awesome.
All hail Haleys.
All hail Haleys. So I thought I'd miss something. I'm like, you know, sometimes I don't get a chance to pay attention to social media or the news that's coming out or whatever. I woke up one morning and the first thing I see on my phone was Spider-Man is coming to the MCU. And at first I was like, I've seen this before. It's just a joke or something. But I read like four or five different references and I'm like, I got to pay attention to this. Oh my gosh, it's really happening. We're actually getting Spider-Man in the MCU. It happened, like, Marvel dropped it at midnight, and we talked a little bit about it on the Gonna Geek podcast this week as well. Chris Farrell came up and he said, I wonder if they did it to preempt DC from a Batman versus Superman trailer that next day. So I don't know if that was going to happen or not, but Marvel is usually really keen at this sort of stuff. Maybe it was going to leak anyway, so they wanted to leak it on their site first so they get all the clicks, that sort of thing. But first of all, it's big news. Second of all, it's kind of weird the way they went about it.
Yeah. So I was up, I was getting ready to go to sleep, but I was up doing Twitter hashtag horrible goat puns. And then all of a sudden my timeline exploded. So naturally I had to stay awake a little longer to partake in the explosion.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So basically Kevin Feige is going to be the executive producer of a Spider-Man film. I don't know if it's more than one or if it's just that one. It looks like Sony is going to retain creative control. There is absolutely no money changing hands, which is just befuddles me. I don't understand why that's true. There is a 60-40 split of the ticket takes going on. But the most important thing is that you can now cross between the two universes, the Sony Spider-Man-owned movie universe and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, these characters. And Spider-Man will be shown in Civil War, which I guess he's a big character. And I don't know, we were talking about it on Gonna Geek as well. We don't know if it's going to be a origin story. We don't think it will be, but they are definitely casting younger. They want to cast a teenager in this role. So because that's how Spider-Man actually came into the Marvel Universe. Yeah, you know, that's how he's created. Stan Lee, great guy. He wanted a teenager web guy. So he got one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything I've read says that they're skipping the origin.
Yeah, please God, we've seen it twice already. We all know what happens. I really just want him to show up in the middle of the fight like, hey guys, what's going on? And everyone stops like, who the hell are you? And he's in this like crappy homemade costume. Like he's wearing a ski mask over his head or something.
Yeah.
I really want that. But yeah, with regards to if they wanted to do a Civil War movie about secret identities, then yes, they need Spider-Man or a Spider-Man-like hero. But nobody really has that draw of Spider-Man.
Right.
Because they need somebody whose identity is completely concealed. Because all these other people, all their identities are known. And this is somebody who just is out there and has stuff at stake to lose by having his identity be known. So if they wanted to do that, then yes, Spider-Man is the correct choice. So I guess it kind of puts the lie to what they've been saying that Civil War isn't going to be about this, because it seems like, yes, they have been writing this as like a backup or something, just in case they were able to work out something with Sony. And from Sony's perspective, I guess they figure this is after Spider-Man 3 and after Amazing Spider-Man 2 underperformed, that this is probably the only way that they're going to make a decent amount of money out of their Spider-Man investment.
Right.
Right.
So this is a win-win for both. Marvel still retains toys and the comics and that sort of thing. And Spidey is a big property. Matter of fact, it's bigger than anything else out there. It eclipsed Batman this past year. We ran a story on that a few weeks ago. So they get to increase that worth. Sony gets to have a revival, basically, of their Spider-Man franchise, which they really needed to. And let's face it, there was no way Sony was going to give this up completely to Marvel, at least not now, not until Disney buys Sony, which is a possibility. So it's a win-win for now, and it allows them to make the Civil War movie that they wanted, that Kevin Feige probably wanted to make. So, you know, hey, it's all cool. Haley, what do you think?
I'm looking forward to it because Spider-Man is a fun character, but by himself, it's really limited how much you can do with him. So now that they can put him into a larger universe, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do different than what they've been doing up to this point.
What I really love is it's been floating around. I think it was originally tweeted on Twitter, but it's been floating around like Tumblr and Facebook. It's a panel from Brian Michael Bendis's run on New Avengers of them asking Spider-Man to join the New Avengers. And it's Iron Man holding him and saying, we have money. And Spider-Man saying, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yes, it's pretty much exactly like that.
So did you guys have a chance to see Hugh Jackman's reaction to the announcement?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he was being, I'll have to put the link out there when I find it. He was being interviewed and somebody asked him, hey, did you hear about Spider-Man actually joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And he was like, no, really? That is so cool. Yeah. And he went into it. Apparently, he had heard something about it right before he went on the interview, but there was no confirmation. And he basically was saying, this is an awesome thing, and I would love to be a part of it, but I just don't think it's going to happen in the time that I have with the Wolverine character.
Yeah, because Wolverine is also a part of the new Avengers, which is when Spider-Man like really joins the Avengers. And I think it would be fun to see Wolverine and Spider-Man play off each other, because that's always fun in the comics when it happens. But yeah, I think he's sort of coming to the end of his tenure as Wolverine. I mean,
right. And Fox is still making too much money off of X-Men.
Yeah, they're still making money off of X-Men. And you can only look immortal for so long. Let's face it. Hugh Jackman is a good looking guy, and he still looks improbably good and improbably young. But it's been, God, it's closing up on
15 years?
Like 20 years since the first X-Men movie.
Right. So definitely he would like to do it. His reactions, though, just the look on his face, he's not acting. He is legitimately shocked, surprised, and he's in wonderment that this is actually happening. Because after you played the character for that long, you get to know some of the lore and you're like, wow, it would be so cool to try to do this. And you just know you can't because the studios are apart. So that's pretty cool. Talking about the Spider-Man, and it's basically going to be rebooted. Nobody's going to come back. There are rumors.
There are rumors that J.K. Simmons might be asked to come back as J. Jonah Jameson.
Well, yes, because he was the best.
Which he is all for, and I would love, because he is J. Jonah Jameson. Like, he even voices him in the Spider-Man cartoon that's currently ongoing.
Right.
Yeah, he plays that exact same character in a lot of other things, too.
Yeah.
Just the gruff, obnoxious guy.
Did you know he's been the yellow M&M for, like, 15, 20 years?
No, I didn't.
No, yeah. I did not.
Wow.
Right?
You know, all those commercials that are over the holidays and stuff?
Yeah. No, that's J.K. Simmons.
I did not know that was him.
Did not know.
I didn't know that until this week.
Wow.
Yep.
So apparently we have a little bit more casting suggestions, I guess.
Yeah. So according to Latino Review, they reiterate that, yes, they want to cast high school age Peter Parker. Well, they want to cast high school age Spider-Man. The short list for casting apparently includes Logan Lerman from Fury and from the Percy Jackson movies, and Dylan O'Brien from The Maze Runner and Teen Wolf. But reports also mention that the studio may switch gears entirely and swap out Peter Parker for Miles Morales, which personally I would adore because, well, first of all, why this could be plausible. The press releases did not mention the name Peter Parker. The press releases mentioned Spider-Man.
Right.
And Spider-Man has been a legacy character before, like whether it's Ben Reilly, whether it's, well, who granted was Scarlet Spider, but still, whether it's his daughter, whether it's just all these, the Spider-Man legacy can be passed on. And in Ultimate Comics right now, Miles Morales is Spider-Man, and he might be coming to the 616 universe, or I guess is coming to the 616 universe. And I think that because people have been kind of burned out on the Sony Peter Parker origin tale two times in less than 20 years, Miles Morales could be an interesting choice. Miles Morales, for those who don't know, the ultimate, you know, legacy character who took over after Peter Parker died. He's half Hispanic, half African-American kid who got bit by a different genetically altered spider in a different case, and his powers work a little differently. But because he was once rescued by Spider-Man, he's like, I need to do something with my life too. And this guy saved me, and this guy meant something to a lot of people. So I'm going to try to keep up with what he meant.
Yeah.
So yeah. And people right now really love Miles Morales. Like, his series is still doing really well. And the fact that before they talked about bringing the Ultimate Verse into 616, they were like, well, we'll just take him into 616, or we'll kill off the whole Ultimate Universe and just keep him. I think that tells you something about his popularity.
Okay, so is it bad if the only actor I can think of to play Miles Morales right off the top of my head is Jaden Smith?
Oh, God.
I don't know what the kid actors are these days.
I know. Even the Twilight actors are too old.
Well, the Twilight actors are all like 30.
Yeah, it's my point.
It's like Saved by the Bell casting right there.
Right, and that's why they're not going backwards or keeping the current Spider-Man, what's his name?
Andrew Garfield.
Because he's 31, right? They want to go with somebody who's a lot younger so they can keep him around for a little bit longer.
Right. A lot of the articles I saw, which was not taking into account that they want to go younger, said Donald Glover could do it again. But, you know, he can't. I don't think he can play a high schooler right now.
Yeah, I think that times maybe a couple years ago, yes, like right when Community was starting. But yeah, that time's kind of passed, which is a shame because Donald Glover as Spider-Man would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the wisecracks. He's got, you know, the likableness.
Yeah.
I love Donald Glover.
Yes. Yeah. Who doesn't? So the other bombshell dropped during this announcement was Marvel actually made way for the next Spider-Man film. They moved Thor back. Actually, all the movies, I think they moved back.
They moved everything except Avengers back one time slot.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man was taking July 28th, 2017, which is when Thor was supposed to be. So now Thor is November 3rd, 2017. Black Panther goes to July 6th, 2018. Captain Marvel goes to November 2nd, 2018. And Inhumans is in a new slot July 12th, 2019.
So a couple of big things there. You don't get a Black Panther movie before Avengers Infinity War Part 1, and you don't get an Inhumans movie before
Part 2.
Yeah.
So you have to wonder how big of a role were they going to play in those movies if their characters now aren't being introduced before those parts come out?
That's a good question. Don't know. I'm sure more information will come out in the coming weeks and months. So
I'm wondering if they have Avengers just still in those time slots to intimidate other people away from those time slots, and they'll just swap them out as needed. I mean, we'll see, but
they have, up to this point, always released their Avengers movies first weekend in May. So I don't know if they would want to back off of that.
That's a good point.
Yeah. They did get an enormous amount of success in that late summer spot, that August summer spot with Guardians of the Galaxy. So,
but that was this year. It just happened to be that nothing else came out. I don't think we're ever going to have a situation like that again where the summer isn't packed from beginning to
end. I think if there was going to be another movie in that slot that did well, I think it would be something like Inhumans.
Yeah, Adam brought up in chat, there's also the Star Wars factor, or like you were saying, Haley, any other factor out there that is in consideration. So there might have been a real, I would have to take a look at the upcoming movie schedule. There might have been a reason that they were willing to back off on that late July 17th slot with Spider-Man. I don't know. We'll see. All right, do you guys have anything else to say about the Spider-Man coming to the MCU?
The only thing that annoys me about it is that it pushed. Now I have to wait longer to watch those movies, especially Captain Marvel's in a whole nother year.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I was thinking about this, like, we've basically been finding out major casting about a year and a half before the movie is slated to come out. Like, if you look like when we found out about the Doctor Strange casting. So that means the soonest we would find out about Captain Marvel casting would probably be late 2016.
Possibly. It depends on if they want to
throw her.
Unless
they were going to introduce her in another movie before then.
Yes. Specifically, I'm thinking Avengers, but yeah, it could be any movie. It doesn't have to be Avengers.
Right. Like, the only reason we know who Black Panther is now is because he's supposed to be in Captain America Civil War, and we found out about it about a year and a half before that movie came out.
Yeah. Yep. True. Well, I said it before, I'll say it again, it'll be really interesting how this whole casting process for the Spider-Man characters work, because Marvel's going to want to have their say, Sony's retaining rights, and you don't have the full, it's not like we saw the whole agreement, you know, and people are poring over legalese or whatever. They announced basically four bullet points, and that's all we have. So we will definitely get more information leaked out over time. But this is what we have at the moment, and what a bombshell it was.
You know what? I didn't look into this at all. Have they said anything about if Sony has scrapped all their Spider-Verse plans that they had slated?
Oh, good question, because didn't they have an offsite or whatever to discuss the future of Spider-Man?
Yeah, they were supposed to have some big spider powwow.
Yeah.
And I don't know whatever came of that.
Well, I guess this was it. y'all are fired. Marvel's coming in. All right. All right. We also got some feedback this week. Mr. Pericletes tweeted us, and he said, regarding the Red Skull surgery guy, he looks like he's on his way to becoming a Gnossian. And for those of you that are not versed in the Star Trek lore, you need to take a look at the picture that he tweeted. It's definitely got a lot of bony facial sort of stuff. And I still have not seen any of those Red Skull pictures of that guy who's trying to surgically make himself Red Skull. I don't want to see him. And if it's anything like that Gnossian, I'm glad I haven't seen it. So thank you very much for that tweet. Also, Mr. Pericletes tweeted Silent MODOK at Marvel Experience. Did you guys see this?
I heard about this. Okay. So one of the podcasts I listen to weekly is Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman. And at the very beginning of the show, Kevin Smith mentioned this because he's like, yeah, hey, remember how you mentioned that now you're canon in Marvel because you were the radio announcer on Agent Carter? And he mentioned that, first of all, he's in a commercial for the Marvel Experience as like a security guard. And also, he's the voice of MODOK in the Marvel Experience.
Yeah, that is
It's not the live Marvel show that's touring right now. It's a hyper-reality attraction.
The Marvel Experience.
Yeah, I guess it's in San Diego right now.
Mm-hmm. From February 7th through the 22nd. So run, go catch it before it leaves.
Yeah, if you can find a trailer for it on YouTube.
And then also at MovieDude77375, we know him as Eric, said, I am a much bigger Agent Carter fan than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Keep up the great work talking about this exceptional show. And I guarantee you, we will continue talking about this exceptional show for two more weeks.
Yes. We are also huge fans.
They keep putting it out. We'll keep talking about it. But
yeah, right.
Yeah, people who are fans of the show, like, seriously, let ABC and Disney and whoever know, because right now it's at one of those teetering points where they're like, well, do we want to renew it for a second season or not? And if you liked this show, this experience, is having something to watch in between sections of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., let them know.
Yep. And watch it.
Yes, and watch it.
Watch it while it's airing.
Watch it live, and so you can participate with Lauren as she tweets live.
Yes.
So also, Richard at Kodiak GWC tweeted us, because of this, we have to wait longer for four films that I really wanted to see. I kept this in. We talked about it already. I kept it in because it's not just us who are feeling the pain, but a lot of people are feeling the pain as well. I will just say this. You get to see a Spider-Man movie done well.
I was going to say, we've seen a bunch of Spider-Man movies. I want to see Carol Danvers.
All right, all right.
Yeah. I don't know. If it's a Miles Morales movie, I'll be a little bit more forgiving. But I don't need to see another Peter Parker movie again, necessarily. Especially if it's just another origin story.
So Supergirl's going to be out. I mean, we've got Agent Carter. So she's not a superhero, but she's had her own show. I guess Marvel can claim rights to that.
But she's a total badass, so it's okay.
Right. But DC's going to have Supergirl. They're going to have Wonder Woman out there. And we have to wait this long for Captain Marvel. Although we've had Black Widow for a while. So, I mean, there's that. And then Christy says, I want to hear more about Gam Gam. Yes, like I said, I'd like a whole hour of Thompson and Angie talking about Gam Gam. I bet you Thompson will end up crying in that conversation too. I'm just saying. And then lastly, Mr. Paracletes tweeted us and he said, great episode last night. Does anyone know how the psychiatrist was communicating to Dottie sign language or unique code? You know, to me, it looked like...
It looked like Morse code.
I tweeted that on the account that I'm pretty sure it's Morse code because he's like tapping and then sliding his hand. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure... Yeah. I can't read Morse code. I can do SOS and that's it.
So it was short, basically short and long dots, which would be Morse code. Right. And if you go to the period specific, that would make sense back then.
And it, I mean, it could have been similar to, but legally distinct from Morse code to make it harder to crack.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's basically what it was.
Yeah. If anybody knows Morse code, please get back to us with what he was like actually saying in Morse code. But I'm pretty sure it was like tap is dot and slide is dash.
Yeah. There's also Prisoners of War have come up with some great codes throughout the years of what to do, taps and whatever. And not everybody knows Morse code. So some of the stuff that they came up with was ingenious on how to actually communicate. So it might have not have been Morse code, but it's a signal code that they know in Leviathan or whatever. And then Dottie was giving him flashes too. I didn't notice it the first time I watched it because I was looking away briefly, but she was using the flash of the gun, or maybe it was a light, or
there was like a light.
It was like a light
there.
Yeah.
Like a little switch she was hitting.
The first time I saw it, I was like, oh no, it's the, you know, light from the scope and he's going to see it, or he's going to see it just in time or whatever. But then it kept going. I'm like, oh, wait, no, she's signaling him.
Yeah, that's what I thought the first time, too, is there was, like, light reflecting off the scope.
Yeah, I guess she was just trying to get his attention, like, I'm here, say what you need to say now.
Yeah, good cinematography. I mean, if you're the producing the show, it's like, who are you going to shoot him or not? Well done.
Yeah, oh, that moment was so tense.
Yeah, so great there. So thanks, guys, for all the feedback. We really appreciate you tweeting us, calling us with voicemails. We do have a voicemail line at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. That is a toll-free call. And we have emails. I'm at StargatePioneer at GunnaGeek.com. We have Haley at GunnaGeek.com and Lauren at GunnaGeek.com. You can find all those emails on our webpage. Go to the top right-hand corner. Click on our avatars and you will find all of our contact information there. So this was a great week. Looking forward to next week. Unfortunately, Lauren won't be here. I'm not looking forward to that. Oh, but looking forward to your report back from Siberia. It's definitely, we need a Lauren Siberian report when you come back.
All righty.
Okay. Join us next week as we talk the 7th episode in the Agent Carter event, Snafu. Talked about all of our great contact information. Basically, if you search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., you will find us. And thank you very much to all the tweeters and everything. Lauren, you had a great time tweeting with people live last night, didn't you?
I did. I do every week. It's like one of the highlights of my Tuesdays.
It's the highlight of my Tuesday reading it. And if I'm not podcasting on Gunna Geek, I'm actually involved and I'm tweeting back and forth. It's just sometimes they just need me and I go. So,
see, I usually haven't had a chance to watch the episode when she starts tweeting, so I got to steer clear.
I know. That's the other thing. It's like, oh, I don't want to get spoiled.
Yeah, I try to make it as spoiler free as I can, but
go for it.
Just reactions.
Yeah. So thank you guys very much. I appreciate every single one of you that listen to the podcast and that contact us. And I got to say, Eric, thank you very much for your tweet. That really made my day.
Thank you for everybody who shows up to the live tweeting. I love tweeting back and forth, y'all. I love seeing your reactions. Andy, I love seeing your reactions when you watch it in your time zone.
Yeah, that's always great.
Yeah.
Thanks to Adden for hanging out on Mixlr with us this week for the live broadcast of the show. And thanks to Op for sharing a little bit of news with us on Twitter.
Yeah, I always like the Op machine coming in. That's awesome. Maybe we'll get him on the podcast again when he's, you know, not busy with his, you know, his big
flutin'
podcast with thousands and thousands of fans.
We have dozens of loyal fans. Baker's dozens.
Baker's dozen.
Becoming 13s.
So is that a gross if you have a dozen?
It is, actually.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
I didn't say we had a dozen. I said we had dozens.
Yeah, there you go. Until next week, I'm Agent Sargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
See you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.